And Stinch, what's your beef?
What?
You don't? Is it me pooping? What's the 2 p.m.? I can't have coffee?
It's scientifically, you're not supposed to have caffeine after 11. You know this.
Who the fuck? And I didn't. No, it was done by noon. It was till noon. Okay. All right. Let's go.
All right.
I'm caffeinated.
Yeah. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to a freshly squeezed episode of the Flowscape podcast. And everybody give a round of applause for Christopher Peterson Mason.
He's alive.
He's alive. We sent Dog the Bounty Hunter after him. They found him in DeSantis's basement in a hole like Saddam Hussein. They dragged him out. They made him come back to the podcast. Mason, you look like you've aged about 20 years. What the fuck? Where have you been? And explain to the people. The classic you. You don't have a microphone or even headphones. So explain to the people where have you been?
I've been stuck at work a lot. I've gotten a couple of new roles added to my job. So now, in addition to what I was doing before, I'm also training people extra, and then I'm now a tour guide as well.
You're a fucking tour guide. He's one step away from his dream of becoming one of the actual characters and not actually having to live as Christopher Peterson Mason and being able to live as a fictional Disney character. He's very close to that. Buddy, glad to have you back. We're going to try to make it work with you and no mic. You're going to have to yell. Your neighbors are going to fucking hate you. That's where we're at. Real quick, let's just get this out of the way. I got to give an impromptu shout out, and I do have permission. For the last few weeks, I have been taking this Redmond Relight electrolyte mix hydration, as you can see right here. In the morning, and then after I do the sauna, which is pretty much every single day. So I've been taking multiple doses of it a day. I've had tons of electrolytes before from different companies. This shit is really, really good. I saw it on Instagram a long time ago, and then I was at a roller tournament and I stayed with a buddy and he had some and he gave it to me. And I really liked it. And then I finally got around to ordering some myself. It's become my go-to. I just wanted to shout out them. It's Redmond Relight again. Redmond Relight is what it's called. It's fantastic stuff. Super clean, awesome. It tastes good. I have the mango kind, but they have all kinds. Definitely give it a try. If you're looking for a new kind of electrolyte mix, the scoops are super easy. It's just one scoop. And the scoop is small enough. You can use a scoop and put it into a normal size water bottle. Which is what I really like about it. So just awesome stuff. So I wanted to shout them out real quick before we get into everything. Now that we are going to get into episode 31, welcome to the Rempire State Building, boys. Because as soon as we got off the podcast last episode, Spencer, Matt Rempe proceeds to go fight Olivier on Columbus, who is a legit heavyweight. Who I say got the better of him towards the end of that fight. And then after that, all bruised and bloodied up, looking like a fucking just a savage, proceeds to fight the toughest guy, the most feared man in the NHL, Ryan Reeves, and did very, very, very well. I would say it was a draw. Spencer, we'll start with you and then we'll go to Mason. Who the fuck? What is this kid? What is he?
I mean, I give him credit. He came in and he wanted to make a name for himself and be a folk hero in the town of New York. And he is definitely getting some free meals and free beers in that town now. But the kid's got to learn to block or dodge or do something.
Dodge, duck, dive, and dodge.
He is just eating punches right now. But I mean, also talk about scheduling. Kid comes into the league and has to play four heavyweights in five games. The NHL's just either drooling or they're just oh God, please somebody sit this kid finally.
Yeah. Mesa, we'll go to you real quick in a second. But I just want to say Sheldon Keefe, they were out there. Rempe was out there of fucking the first or second shift and you fucking put Nylander's line out. I mean, come on. Like, it didn't have to happen with six. It didn't have to happen with 6 minutes left in the third period in a one goal game, because it was going to fucking happen regardless. Just be aware and just fucking let the guys get it over with. Now, Mason, we'll go to you. What do you think about this kid? Since you haven't been on in a while, what have you seen from him? And just what do you think about the Empire State Building?
I think it's awesome. I think it's cool to see him kind of run this little marathon through all these like big fighters. It's kind of like a, I don't know, he's like collecting Pokemon gym badges by beating all these people. So it looks really good for him to me. Like,
only you would make that comparison.
I mean, he's on his way to the Elite Four. When he gets to heaven, he'll be fighting Derek Bugard and some of the other monsters. So, like, I think it's cool.
But the pictures of him sitting in his stall with, like, the big black eye and those are just
unbelievable.
Like you said, he needs to learn how to get out of the way of some of those punches. I mean,
he's so big. Like, how is he even getting hit?
And because the other guys are almost just as big and more experienced. I mean, it's insane. It's insane. But imagine that kid right now walking into a bar in New York City with a face that looks like that, being 6'7", 6'240", and he goes, "Yeah, I'm the heavyweight fighter for the New York Rangers." It's just panty soup all across that bar for that kid. Oh my God. And if you're a teammate, oh my God, you're latching. You're like, where's the residuals, boys? Cause you just have to be near that kid. And I'm sure he's just the talk of the town right now. That's a big town. But good for that kid. I mean, but he's really taken his, real quick, we won't stay on this long. Fuck people who say, like, why is he fighting so much? He fucking has to. He doesn't want to eat soggy subs and ride the bus in the AHL anymore. He wants to fucking play in the NHL, and he wants to stay playing in the NHL. And until he will get his skill up, and he will get his skating will get better because he's very young. But until that happens, he has to do things to stay. And what does he have to do being that big? He's got to fucking fight. Now, he doesn't have to fight every night unless he's told. But I'm sure Laviolette's not telling him to fight every night. I'm sure at some point Laviolette's going to be like, "Hey man, you're good for a while. You don't got to worry about going down right now, or at least for a few weeks. If anything, you'll be a black ace in the playoffs or whatever. Just, you know, you don't have to fight every single night." But fuck everybody who's like, it's bullshit. The kid is doing what he's born to do, first of all. And second of all, he's
good. Panarin cannot say that he doesn't have more room on the ice right now because Matt Rempe is on the bench.
The kid went toe-to-toe with Ryan Reeves, and again, it was a fucking draw, and they hit each other with fucking heavy punches. Even Ryan Reeves said that kid's a fucking killer. If you're a skill player on the New York Rangers, hello, thank you very much. Keep this guy around because I can do whatever the fuck I want out there, and I know that this guy will at least, if he's not going to win the fight, he's going to make that guy eat a few heavy punches just based on how tall he is. So it's like, just fucking lay off the kid. Let him do what he wants.
He's doing everything Reeves did when Reeves was in New York, except he's doing it at a fraction of the price. So,
yeah. Now, somebody who is getting to do whatever the fuck they want is Lindy Ruff. Pack your shit. Was it Mike Commodore on Twitter? Wasn't it Mike Commodore on Twitter like 12 years ago when we were in college who started the pack your shit for players who were getting traded? It was like a big hashtag on Twitter. He's like, and all he would say was, "Hey," and then the player's name, and then hashtag pack your shit.
Yeah, it was like a trade deadline. He was like breaking trades, and that's all he would say. Wouldn't say like, where you were going or what you were doing. It was just, "Hey, pack your shit."
Yeah, hey, Brad Richards, hashtag pack your shit. Doesn't say, yeah, it's just, so for Lindy Ruff, pack your shit. The Devils have parted ways with Lindy Ruff and promoted Travis Green, who was assistant coach, as the interim head coach, who I would assume is just going to go ahead and be promoted as the head coach after the season anyways, because he was going to be a hot commodity. He was not bound to be an assistant long because he did pretty well in Vancouver and he was very well liked. It just wasn't the right fit. And it just, his message just kind of wore a little thin. So I would assume that they stick with him going into next season, which I think is the right play. A lot of people really respect him around the league, but regardless, what is the point? And Mason, we'll go to you first on this. What is the point of firing him now? You see, you know what I mean? Like, they're way out of playoff contention. They're not going to make the playoffs regardless. So what the fuck is the point of moving on? You should have moved on from them 4 months ago or 3 months ago when they were still not in a playoff position rather than doing it now. And so it really just doesn't make a difference. But Mason, what do you think? What's your opinion on the firing? And, you know, should they have done it a long time ago? Or at this point, what does it matter?
I feel like it's probably more of a morale thing, because they're probably still eating most of his contract and having to pay him out, I'd be willing to bet. So I don't think it's a money. It's not like a financial decision. I think it's probably more like a, the players just aren't rallying for this guy anymore. And the GM, the owners, all the people above want to see the players actually playing more inspired. And I think a little change of regime does that, even if it's just for a time. Who knows how they're going to be next year? They could be just as bad next year and miss the playoffs again. But if they see a little spike in morale, they'll at least know that, hey, at least it was the coach was, I'm not saying coach is always the problem, but he was at least part of the problem.
Wow. Mason comes out of DeSantis's basement, just buzzing. Wow. I didn't really think about the morale, just the morale factor of trying to just finish the season in a good mood. Spencer, what's your take on that?
I'm kind of on both sides. Like, I kind of, like you said, is this too little too late? Like, okay, so they're only 6 points out of the wild card. They can make that up in the 20 games they have left for sure. But in the same breath, I kind of feel like this was always the plan for at some point Lindy Ruff to go off into the sunset and for Greener to take the team. I think in a perfect world, maybe they went a little further this year and still underperformed, and that's how Lindy Ruff went out. But it's, like you said, it's kind of a weird time, but I think at this point they have the team that they want. They need a goalie for sure. Their goaltending has been very suspect, but I think if Greener can get in there and revitalize that team a little bit, like I said, they're only 6 points out. That's only, you know, That's a few wins here and there and a few losses for the other teams in a pretty wide open Eastern Conference, which, you know, outside of a couple teams making some splashes at the trade deadline, there's no one really running away with that conference. So they're not that far out of it right now, but they got to get some goaltending.
Also true. Wow, you guys just pigeon tossed me on that one. Fuck both of you. How about that?
I told you I had caffeine and I'm buzzing.
Yeah, Mason's drinking moonshine and Spencer's had caffeine. So fuck both of you. Well, good point, boys. Good points. I'll give it to you. The morale and yeah, I guess you're right, Spencer. They aren't that far out after looking at it. They've just been so bad, and their goaltending has been so bad. I think they just look because a lot worse.
Expectations are so high. So the fact that they're out of the playoff picture is stupid.
Yeah,
like I had them, no question, in the playoffs competing for the Eastern Conference, and now we're talking about them battling for a wild card spot.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Well, let's move into our trade. Yeah, they could. Yeah. It's the three four. It's just wide. It's like Spencer said, it's wide open. Let's move into our trade talks. There's been a lot of trades that have happened since our last episode, and since we've been alive today, some things have happened. But the biggest one that we need to discuss right now, because it's been changing and the foils have been kind of rippling through, is Elias Lindholm. So earlier in the year, Calgary traded him to Vancouver. He's been very good in Vancouver. He's been producing for Vancouver. The word on the street has been, okay, that he was going to, hold on, the word on the street was that he was going, that Vancouver was going to flip him to Boston in a three-team trade with Pittsburgh that sent Jake DeBrus to Pittsburgh and sent Gensel to Vancouver, and obviously Lindholm to Boston. Now the rumor is that, and apparently this is going to probably be the case, is David Pagnotta, NHL Network insider, says that the Penguins and Rangers Jake Gensel trade talks have intensified. New York's first round pick and Kaapo Kakko could both be in the deal. Kakko is 23 and scored 40 points last season, former number 2 overall pick. So the New York Rangers could get a really, really good player who I think fits that. Here's where Gensel fits. He fits Vancouver, he fits the New York Rangers, and he fits the Dallas Stars. Those are the three teams I think Jake Gensel fits the most on. And fuck you for smiling.
Of course you think he fits the Stars.
I think he does, though. When you look at the Stars lineup.
Shocking.
He fits in there perfect.
So did Patrick Kane. So did Tarasenko.
Kane, no, Tarasenko wouldn't have been good. Tarasenko, Kane would have been great. He would have looked great in Victory Green. Tarasenko would have not been the right play. But Gensel is also a perfect pick for Vancouver or the Rangers. So that if that happens, the New York Rangers, I believe, would be the team to beat in the East. I think Florida right now is that team. But I think with the addition of Jake Gensel, I think the New York Rangers become a fucking juggernaut, and they become very, very, very scary. Spencer, we'll go to you first. What do you think about if Jake Gensel goes to the New York Rangers, which is supposedly what is going to happen?
I mean, I'll start off with the Lindholm rumors. I thought that was just BS from the get-go. I like
the Boston thing
in Vancouver. Yeah, I like him in Vancouver. I never saw him going to Boston. That made no sense to me. Like you said, he's got 6 points in 14 games, which I think is a weird picture of how he's fit in Vancouver. I think he's exactly kind of what that team needed in a big power forward. And I think, you know, Tuck will get him going. I think that's a much better fit. So then in the same breath, I really do like Gensel in the Kako trade. I think him on the Rangers is a really – I don't really know where he fits in that lineup necessarily yet, because I think that lineup is pretty solid from the get-go. But, you know, he is a proven playoff performer, and they are a proven playoff choker. So, I mean, they clearly need something, and Kako just needs out. You're seeing Lafreniere kind of take those next steps of being a player that can stick around and make a career for himself. Kako still wants to be that goal scorer and be that guy. So I think he needs a new lease on life. So I really like that trade. I really hope it goes through and you kind of see both teams kind of get what they need and move forward.
Mason, what do you think about Gensel to New York and the Cock Man, Kaapo Kakko, to Pittsburgh?
I mean, I feel like both teams are looking for a way to move on, but personally, don't like it because it affects the teams that I like. Not as like, I don't like but the Penguins, the Rangers, any of them, but I don't like it to be any harder for Ovechkin to score goals and chase that record. So that's where I don't really like it.
I don't think Gensel's getting in the way of many Ovechkin shots.
No, but just the Rangers being a better team gets in the way. Of it.
True.
The more time the Rangers are in the offensive zone, the less time the Caps are going to be there. Especially if the Caps just got rid of Anthony Mantha, which I know we're going to talk about in a few minutes. So, like,
and I think the Rangers moving on from Kako and getting I forgot they also got Lindberg from Seattle.
Yeah, so we can cross that trade we were going to talk about later off the list now. Yeah, so they also picked up Alex Lindberg from Seattle, which just adds depth. So now they're picking up a top 10, top 15 scorer in the NHL who has been a top 15 scorer in the NHL, top 10 scorer in the NHL for years now, and they're also picking up
five playoff.
Yeah, exactly. Multiple Stanley Cups. And then they're adding, and he's still young and he still has points in him and he's still fucking buzzing. And then they're adding a very, very good depth guy in Alex Lundberg. So New York is, you know, they're not necessarily, they're not loading up, but they're moving the pieces into the right spots pretty much is what they're doing. If they can pull this Gensel trade off. So moving along, Ilya Lyubushkin, however you want to say it, from Anaheim, Toronto Maple Leafs ended up picking him up, and poor sucks for that kid, because if he would have just stayed in Anaheim maybe like a week longer, he wouldn't have had to get sent to the fucking fifth row by Matt Rempe, which is exactly what happened in one of his first games in Toronto. He just gets fucking killed, and it was a good hit. Fuck anybody who says it wasn't. It was a good fucking hit. He sent him into the fucking stands. So I think a good pickup for the Leafs. The problem is it's another Leaf defenseman that's offensive minded, that's not tough, that isn't going to add any kind of grit for them in the playoffs. It's basically they're hoping it's the reincarnation of the shitty John Klingberg trade that they made, is my opinion on it. Mason, what do you think about it?
Wait, what was the shitty John Klingberg?
It's just Klingberg not just once Klingberg left the Dallas Stars, he was not John Klingberg anymore. He for anybody he played for, he was trash for the Ducks, he was trash for the Wild, he was trash for the Maple Leafs. He was not walk the line. Vandersloot just Muff Daddy sauce through the middle for tips. He just wasn't that guy anymore. So what do you think about the Ilya Yabushkin to Maple Leafs, the Maple Leafs in general?
Just like in terms of them giving him a fresh lease on life kind of thing? Or do you think, like, I don't think he's gonna go and just be trash like Klingberg.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I think it's just a weird Spencer. Do you see what I'm saying? Like it's just a typical Leafs pickup at the deadline. Yeah, exactly.
Like, okay, like you have Austin Matthews. He has 54 goals. Do you really need more offense? Like maybe keep some pucks out of your own net.
Yeah. Is Labushkin actually going to? They need a guy like yeah. They need a guy who can just shut down.
They
are
not better today than they were yesterday.
Yes, that's kind of what I'm getting at. This trade doesn't hurt them, but it doesn't make them any better. So it's like, okay, cool. It's just kind of typical Toronto at the deadline to me. But last thing on Matt Rempe, he's having a ripple effect across the NHL because Mason, like you pointed out earlier, how Gensel to New York is going to make it harder for Ovechkin to kind of score, when he plays the New York Rangers. The New Jersey Devils went and phoned Colorado and picked up Curtis McDermott, who's a legit heavyweight fighter who has fought the laundry list of heavyweights in the NHL. And obviously that is a strategic play. And holy fuck, our biggest rival, our cross bridge rival, has one of the biggest, toughest kids in the NHL, and we've got really nobody who can fucking stand up to him and can go toe to toe with him if need be. And now they do. That's another fight I'd be very interested in see. But poor fucking Rempe, don't feel like you have to do it, kid, because McDermott's fucking tough. maybe let your eye heal. Or maybe wait to the playoffs at least. That would be a fun center ice playoff tilt if they ended up seeing each other again. In either barn, but at Madison Square Garden, center ice, Curtis McDermott, Matt Rempe. Could you fucking believe that? That'd be legit. Yeah. But Mason, we're going to get into what you said. So your Capitals have traded Anthony Mantha to the Vegas Golden Knights, who fucking the goddamn Vegas Golden Knights, before they made the trades that they've made, we'll get into the next one, before they've made the trades that they've made that they have, I was not worried about them. Now they're pretty scary. They did not look like the same Vegas. Mark Stone looks like he's going to be out apparently for the season, regardless of playoffs, unless they do the IR magic trick thing and he's not as hurt as everyone thinks. But even with him being out, they filled some holes. So they went out and got Anthony Mantha, who is not like a top. He's not a one, but he's a very good depth winger who can score goals in big moments. And he's great on the power play. He's very shifty. He's got great hands. He's a good player. And then they went out and got Noah Hanifin from Calgary. Spencer, where do you see Vegas? Where did you see Vegas before these trades, and where do you see them now? Because we spoke about Toronto not being any better than they were. I believe Vegas just got a whole lot better.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think they've got to be the favorites in the West now. I mean, when they picked up Mantha, I was kind of like, yeah, whatever. Like, he'll score some goals, but I don't really think that really pushed them into the next level. And then as I was leaving for Men's League last night, I saw the Hanifin trade. I was like, oh, that makes them better. That really changes things. And then the whole Stone thing, I don't know if
their D were already so fucking good. Their D were already so good, and then they added Hanifin.
So, I mean, I think it's hard to say Vegas isn't the favorite in the West right now. If they stay healthy, they're scary.
Mason, are you sad to see Mantha go?
The only reason I'm sad to see him go is just because any depth that the Caps are getting rid of is just, like I said, all I care about with the Capitals right now is Ovechkin scoring goals. They ain't winning a cup anytime soon, but that beating that Gretzky record, that shit lasts forever. So, as far
I don't know about forever.
Matthews will beat it before McDavid does.
Yeah. One of them will get it. But at least we're trying to prove that record wasn't so untouchable as everyone thought Gretzky's was. But back to what we were talking about, I think Nantha, he's a good player. I think he's still lazy. I think all the chirps in Detroit of him being lazy and just not seeming to have too much heart, I think it still looked like that with the Caps. There were games where he kicked ass and he looked like, I got excited and I definitely started like counting chickens before they were hatching. I was like, maybe he's actually going to be one of those guys that steps it up. But then he kind of sinks back into his old ways. And I think him leaving the Caps, not really a big deal. I do think he will help Vegas. Maybe, I think probably more so than y'all do. Just because I think if they put Mantha on a low forward line, they don't need him to be a top two line guy. Put him on a low line and he's going to be more talented than anyone else on a fourth line, or you know what I mean?
Like, I just feel like they already have that. Like they are not really having a hole in their third or fourth line. Like that's how they won the cup whenever was that.
They just
year?
Don't, even with Stone being out, they just don't have a weakness right now. They don't have a big hole anymore. And they kind of did, but their D were, it's weird. They're really good. I think they're gonna really kind of make a push here as far as points and standings go. So going off like the one defenseman trades, okay, we talked about the Leafs did not get any better. We talked about how Vegas picked up Mantha, but he's a forward, but adding Hanifin made them a lot better. The Dallas Stars picked up Chris Tanev from Calgary, and in my opinion, it doesn't make them like astronomically better, but it makes them better. And it's a piece that they needed because he's very, very tough. We have big defensemen, but they're not fighters. Like Honkanpaa is not a fighter. He's European. He's just not, that's just not his game. Lindell is a big guy, but he's not a fighter. He's Finnish. They're sweet. Like they're just, it's just not their game. Right. And then you talk about Heiskanen, and then you talk about Ryan Suter's old, you know, he's a vet, but he's old. So we don't have guys like Pietrangelo. We don't have guys like Alec Martinez. We don't have guys that'll kind of hack you and cross check the shit out of you in the back when something goes down and something happens. And we got pushed around last playoffs, especially against Vegas. And I think adding Tanev to that mix, he's going to be a more physical presence back there. And I'm not saying he's like a heavyweight fighter, but he's not afraid. Like Jamie Benn isn't afraid. He's not afraid to drop the gloves if he has to, and he will fucking lay the body on guys and he will make his kind of physical presence known. I think it was a very good pickup for the Dallas Stars. I'd like to see them do more here in the next couple of days before the deadline ends. I really would. I'd like to see them add another offensive piece or even another defensive piece, to be honest with you. But yeah, so that addition kind of knocks Nils Lundqvist out, who is up and down. I think he's better than a lot of AHL options they had. And he was highly touted in New York, and they gave up a conditional first round pick for him. But he's just not there yet. Mason, and Spencer, don't stay too long on this one. What do you guys think about the Tanev trade?
Yeah, I think it's good. I think, you know, that you finally have someone that's going to clear the front of the net. Like you said, I think, you know, your defense are very offensive minded. I don't think they're really that gritty in front of your own net, as I watched the San Jose Sharks put six on them the other night.
We need that. We need the net front. We need to clear the trash.
Yeah, and like you said, I think that I don't know what piece they need. I feel like they need to make one more move before the Friday deadline. Just kind of that middle of the range player, just to make sure they've got some scoring if someone either gets hurt or goes away in the playoffs.
We'll talk about somebody I would have liked.
I think they are a little better today than they were yesterday.
Yeah, we'll talk about somebody I would like for them to get in a trade coming up here. Mason, what do you think overall about Chris Tanev to Dallas?
I think it's good. I think it's fine. I think it's definitely something Dallas needed. They've been kind of, I feel like they've been weird this year. Like, they've been hot, they've been cold. I think a lot of it does stem from defensive zone issues. And I think this is definitely going to help them a little bit. So, I like you said, there's probably someone better they could have gone after. Or maybe like someone you would have wanted more. But we'll see how it plays out. You never know until they start playing.
In a perfect world, last thing I'll say on this, in a perfect world, they would have added Zadorov when he was on the trade, when he got traded, and then they would have made this move. If their back end had both Zadorov and Chris Tanev, plus Lindell, plus Heiskanen, plus Hockey, like that's a fucking good, that's a really, really good back end. So that's the one thing that I would like to see them do. We'll talk about the forward I would like to see them get in a second. But real quick, Vladimir Tarasenko, Ottawa's going to go, looks like it's going to go into another rebuild. There looks like they're going to be heavy sellers, which is really weird because at the beginning of last year and kind of this year, their goals were to not be sellers and to be buyers and to be competing, and they're just not there. So he's made his way to Florida, and apparently he's loving life down there already, and the team is loving him. I think he's going to fucking tear it up as a Florida Panther. I think he's going to have a Matt Duchene kind of Dallas career resurgence here. Spencer, what do you think about Tarasenko to Florida? Do you think he flourishes, or do you think he needs more nourishment?
I mean, I called it from day one that he was not going to finish the year in Ottawa. Amazing, that like he was going to be trade deadline date for sure. So, yes, I think Florida is a perfect landing spot for him. I would have said that before this. You know, he's got Bob there now so they can speak Russian to each other. He's quite happy, and I think he's going to be buzzing around Miami. So look out for Florida in the East, because if they get going, they're going to be going.
Yeah. Yeah, Mason, you live there. Do you plan on seeing him and the boys at Disney World? And if so, where are you taking them on the tour first?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, it's not out of the picture to me. Like, I think Florida is bound to finally do it eventually. I think these past couple of years, like past like 5 years, whatever, we've seen a lot of non-traditional market teams start putting cups away. Tampa won it twice. We've got Vegas that just won it. So that's 3 out of the last 5 years are Southern teams in very hot places. So if the trend continues, I could totally see the Florida Panthers doing it. I think it would be pretty cool to see them come out here.
Let's talk about this Colorado thing. So Colorado made some interesting moves. At the first part of the moves, Colorado fans thought they got astronomically better, whereas I was kind of like, you got better, but I don't think that much better. And you gave up a conditional first round. Now it's a conditional first round pick, but a first round pick nonetheless in the process. But then they made another trade that I was like, okay, that kind of solidifies that they're really kind of loading up here. They got rid of Ryan Johansson. And they picked up Sean Walker, who is a very, very good defenseman out of Philadelphia, very young, very up and coming, good defenseman out of Philadelphia. Ryan Johansson was not doing well there. It was not the right fit. So they made that move, and then they went and traded Bo Byram for Casey Mittelstadt, which is the move I was like, that's kind of a wash in my opinion. It's just more or less, what did you need? In their opinion, they needed a center. They didn't need another skilled defenseman, which I understand. But it wasn't like Casey, you're getting like an astronomically better player in Casey Mittelstadt than you are in Bo Byram. They both, Bo Byram's younger, I would say has more upside in the longevity of his career than Casey Mittelstadt does. But nonetheless, it was a case of what do they need? They needed Casey Mittelstadt, so they went and got him. I didn't think it made him astronomically better. I would say that it did make them better. Then they went out. Who did they get after that? Who they pick up today?
Dumoulin?
No. Why am I blanking on that? It's, oh my God, it was in, I can't. Oh, Duhame. Yes. Why couldn't I think? Brandon Duhame. Yeah. 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 You were close. Brandon Duhame. That's the D Raj argument in Mason, we'll talk, if we have time before Spencer goes off, we'll talk about that anyways. But yeah, so Brandon Duhaime, that makes them better. I think with the addition of Mittelstadt, the addition of Sean Walker, and the addition of Brandon Duhaime, now they've gotten a lot better. Now their back end is loading up. I guess we got to talk real quick. Mason, we're at Pond Hockey. And Mason, do you remember D-Rod? Okay, so he was playing for one of the teams in another division. They ended up making the championship, and Spencer saw him and recognized him, I believe was the case. But Spencer comes up to me and was calling, what were you calling him all weekend? D-Rock? Not to him.
D-Rock.
Yeah. Spencer,
like, do you remember D-Rock? That really
Spencer kept coming up to me like, do you remember D-Rock? Like the really jack guy. And I'm like, I remember his name not being D-Rock, but I remember who you're talking about. And then at the last moment I said D-Rod, and Spencer goes, oh fuck, D-Rod. Anyway, so the Avs got better is the bottom line. Is the bottom line to that story. The Avs got better. Here's who I would have liked real quick. Here's who I'd like to add this seen the Stars add. The Oilers got a little better. They picked up Adam Henrique and Sam Carrick in a 3-team deal. I thought Adam Henrique would have been a nice kind of pickup for the Stars. I think that's a nice little depth guy they could have added that puts in pucks and kind of like a Matt Zuccarello when they kind of rented him for that little playoff run they had a few years ago. But again, Edmonton Oilers, they got better. They picked up Adam Henrique. They didn't really give up anything for him. Just a bunch of draft picks. This is how all these things go. Spencer, do you think that adding Henrique and Carrick is like really kind of is what they needed? And does this make them like really big playoff contenders, or do you think it's just some pieces that kind of help?
So I thought those were just kind of pieces that help, but then right as we were about to jump on, I saw that they got Troy Stetcher from the Coyotes. Yep.
They added Troy Stetcher as well. So good pickup.
That when they got that, I was like, okay, you know what? They actually are better now. They've got some depth scoring, they've got some grit, and now they've got a young defenseman who can play. So I think they are looking pretty good. I still think they need some goaltending. I don't think they can pay for a good goalie. I think we're going to talk about it in maybe for another team, but Anaheim's clearly moving some players. So is John Gibson on the move? Can they somehow wiggle that in there if Anaheim will keep some of the money? I don't know. But I think Edmonton is good. They aren't better than Vegas. They aren't better than Colorado. They aren't better than Dallas. So I still think they need to do something before Friday if they don't want to lose Dreisaitl and McDavid here pretty soon to free agency.
Yeah, the problem is even with the moves, Mason, we'll get your opinion real quick here in a second. The problem is even with the moves, it doesn't make them better than four other teams. So it's like, you know, Mason, what do you think they need? If they can add one more piece, what is it? What puts them over one of those teams?
That's exactly what Spencer said. It's a goalie situation. I feel like the last 2 years in the playoffs, Edmonton's been a formidable team. They've put up not like their normal regular season type numbers, but the playoffs is a different beast. But I feel like they put up numbers good enough to win games, but they haven't had any heroic goaltending to save a series for them. And I feel like to win the cup, you're not just going to breeze through it because you're the best team in the league. You do have to have some heroics, and someone does have to pull some weird shit out of their ass to kind of get you a series.
Yeah.
I think it all comes down to goaltending. That's every team that wins the Stanley Cup, it's probably 90 to 95% because they had a super hot goalie at the time. Because if you look at it, all these goalies that get super hot, they win a cup, then they go sign a contract somewhere else and they fail to replicate the results. And I think it's just, you got to have the right goalie at the right time.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Good point. Yeah. They need goaltending. And so does Carolina. I'd be interested to see if Carolina doesn't make a move for somebody here in terms of that. Now, real quick, Spencer, I know you have a meeting here in a little bit, but real quick, the Toronto Maple Leafs halfway shoved the plug up our hoop because we talked about Ilya Yabushkin not being the guy that they really needed to add, doesn't add any grit, doesn't add any depth. Then they went out today, a little bit earlier today, and got Joel Edmondson. So they got a guy now who is willing to fight, who can drop the gloves along with Reeves, along with, you know, some of their other guys. So they kind of added a piece to that back end. He's old and he's slowed down. But I think he does add a veteran presence that they kind of need back there. It doesn't make them really any better than they were. It's just maybe another piece that they needed that could help. So that's why I said halfway shove the plug up my hoop. I was hoping for the full plug, but I only got the half. So that's just the way the cookie crumbles. And then, like we said, Stetcher went to the Coyotes. Jacob Perreault from Anaheim, they're in full sell mode. So Gibson could be on the move. He is now on the Canadiens. We talked about Duhaime going to the Avalanche. The Avalanche also picked up Trenin from the Predators, who's a depth guy who probably wouldn't see a whole lot of ice time. But he's a guy, if you get an injury, you can throw him in there. He can kill some ice time for you, and kill penalties for you. Anthony Beauvillier, went to Nashville, from Chicago. So Chicago's in probably a small sell mode, so that they can kind of acquire as many losses as they can before the season ends. So they can get another lottery pick, to go along with Bedard. But that's the trade deadline. That's what we're looking at so far as of Thursday, March 7th at 4:45 PM Central Time. So that's the Flowscape podcast. Again, real quick, go get some Relight, Redmond Relight Hydration. Go look them up on Instagram. I don't have a code for you. This is just an impromptu. I just wanted to give them a shout out because I really like the product. I'm not getting anything out of this. I just really like using it. I think it's fantastic stuff. I will continue to always use it and buy it regardless of their involvement. But I just really like it. So I just wanted to give them a shout out. So go get some Relight. If you, need some electrolytes and you're looking for a switch or need a new brand to try. That's the Flowscape podcast. Boys, you got anything else?
That's all I got.
All right. Well, yeah, we cover a lot. All right. Spencer, hit him with it.
Peace.